This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by Primary Residential Mortgage, PRMI. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending at home?
A lot of you have already received your ballots. I got mine yesterday. Some of you might get them today when you get home from the office. Maybe you'll get it tomorrow. Maybe you'll get it on Monday. You're expected to get it by Monday. You should be voting immediately. There are a lot of really strong conservative candidates who are running. This is not just about the presidential election. In fact, can we talk straight for a moment? Some real talk? Did the kids say that? Real talk?
Not really, but you do a radio show every day. Shouldn't everything be real talk?
Yeah, I know, but I want to, you know, talk to the youth.
Oh, okay.
Put my knee up, take a knee or something.
This is like your Captain America thing?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
This is not about the presidential election because Donald Trump is almost certainly not going to win in Washington State. Doesn't mean you shouldn't vote for him, but we got to be honest about that. However, there are lots of races that we can win and should win and hopefully will win in Washington State. Whether that's Lauren Culp as governor, Matt Larkin as attorney general, Dwayne Davison as treasurer, Kim Wyman as secretary of state, whether it's writing in Joshua Freed for lieutenant governor, there are so many races that are very winnable here, but you need to vote. And we know that there are some shenanigans going on all across the country. We are not immune to it. In Sammamish, for example, a bunch of ballots had been stolen. We're going to talk with their police chief in less than 10 minutes to get some more details as to exactly what happened and what's being done. But what I would recommend is, number one, don't keep those ballots in your mailbox if it's not a locked mailbox for longer than it has to be. And when you vote, I would recommend you either go to an official drop box from your county, or if you don't have access to a locked mailbox to drop off your mail, you should put it in a postal mailbox that's secure that you see around town. You should vote earlier than later. Why? Do you know why? Any ideas?
Because that's the proactive thing to do?
And that is true.
Because people are lazy and they're going to miss the day?
That's definitely true. Looking at you. It's actually because campaigns look up your information to see whether or not you submitted your ballot. They don't know how you voted, but campaigns will see whether or not you have voted. Now, if you're someone who you already know you're voting straight Republican down the line, maybe you got a Democrat in there, maybe you got a write-in candidate somewhere. If you know how you're going to vote, let's say you're a big fan of Jesse Jensen, as you should be, in Washington's 8th District. Vote now, because if he knows that you are a 100% lock, because you've told the campaign, you're a volunteer, you've given them all your information, you said, yeah, you can count on me. The longer you hold on to that ballot, the more time and money you waste from the Jesse Jensen campaign, because they're going to be spending time contacting you until you get that ballot dropped off. They're going to be sending you mailers. Let them save money and focus on the folks who don't know yet how they're going to vote. Vote as soon as you can. Now, in King County, they are choosing yet again to have unarmed guards at all of the 73 ballot drop-off locations. The goal is to keep people from trying to intimidate others who are simply trying to cast ballots. Do I have major concern about this? No. Do I have a little bit more concern about this than I did last time around? Yes. Why? Because we've seen Antifa agitators, criminal activists, riot over this election, over these issues. We're already seeing stories, not just in Sammamish, but across the country, of ballots being stolen. And there are people like Ramon, speaking to Como News, who maybe doesn't feel as safe as he normally would.
Personally, I feel that with the situation right now on how everything's been escalating, doesn't really feel too safe.
Fair enough. And so Julie Wise, King County Elections Director, says they're going to be monitoring the situation.
We will also have plainclothes security out at our drop boxes as well.
Plainclothes security. That's not a homeless person. That's someone who works for King County Elections. Well, they don't pay very well. What are you giving me that look for? They just don't pay that well. She wants to make sure everyone has the ability to vote.
We are doing everything that we can here in King County to keep our elections both secure and accessible.
Now, hopefully, you don't have to deal with any shenanigans. Hopefully, you're ready to go. But for some of you, if it's been days as of next week and you haven't gotten your ballot, you should probably check with your county or the Secretary of State's office. Because, again, we know some things are going down. In Louisville, for example, 112 absentee ballots were found in a dumpster yesterday morning. This, according to the U.S. Postal Service Office of Inspector General. Noah Gabbati is with the Jefferson County Board of Elections. He told WDRB television that this is, of course, going to be discouraging to voters.
We don't need that for Louisville. We don't need that for the Louisville post office folks. And we don't need that for the voters either. It's very discouraging.
Of course it is. But you need to be alert. Mail-in voting in Washington State is overwhelmingly safe and secure, but you do get some issues like in Sammamish. But overall, it is incredibly safe and secure. It is a great mail-in state, thanks in large part to Kim Wyman, Secretary of State. I just wish the media and Democratic politicians would stop using Washington State to justify using mail-in voting everywhere. It took us about 10 years to get to the place we currently find ourselves. 10 years to get to the place of near perfection. Perfection, no, but near perfection. And as we come into this election season, as we are now 18 days away from the election, there are more and more states that have decided to go with mail-in voting. Some of them are just sending out ballots without you having to ask for it. When you don't have a system in place that's been tried or tested, I fear there's going to be legitimate cases of fraud. And the problem is, if you don't know how the system works, if you don't know how a mail-in system is supposed to work, and you're in a position where you didn't get that ballot, you might not know what to do. And even when you do get that ballot, you may not know, hey, when do I actually have to send it in? Does it have to be postmarked by the time the polls close on November 3rd, or what? What exactly are we supposed to be doing here? It's going to cause some problem. Now, I expect problems with mail theft because of the people who have been rioting. I expect some potential issues with absentee ballots, even in states where they tend to work really, really well, because they work well in part because the issue is mitigated with people voting in person. You're cutting down on the overload. If all of a sudden everyone's mailing in their ballots, there could be a potential for issues. But like I said, we're starting to see some. Don't know how serious they are yet. And that it's caught early is good news. That we're all staying vigilant is even better news. In Sammamish, they're dealing with some stolen ballots. We're going to get a rundown on exactly what happened in just a moment. Let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? At home.
Earlier today, the Sammamish Police Department was notified by the Postmaster General that this morning there were some ballots that were stolen from mailboxes and being placed in other mailboxes. So what exactly is the situation? How big is it? Joining me on the line live is the chief of the Sammamish Police Department, Dan Pingree. Chief Pingree, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Take us through exactly what you guys learned about the potentially stolen or, you know, purposely misplaced ballots.
Well, so essentially what we had happen today was a couple of different things. The first was we were notified of some bags of mail that were located that our officers recovered, one in the north end of the city and one in the south end of the city. They included ballots, but also random mail from residents throughout the city. So that was one piece. Those were recovered. The second piece was this morning I was informed by the postmaster of Redmond that distributes mail here in Sammamish, that they had located approximately 30 ballots from the city of Sammamish, along with five or six from the city of Issaquah, in one of their large mailbox structures. And they had all been placed into one of those large containers where people put like Amazon packages, oversized packages. So, and ultimately, we made a decision just as a community awareness that this had occurred, and we wanted to make sure that people were double checking their mail, and if they had not received ballots by next week, that they contacted King County Elections or the Postal Service to determine if and when they had been sent out or delivered. So that's the gist of it. The postmaster will be redelivering the ballots that they located. These were unopened ballots that were mailed out from King County. Mm-hmm. And then we did the same with the ballots that we located. One of our sergeants went and tried to make contact with individual residents and distribute. We're going to follow up tomorrow with the rest, and those that we can't make contact with will be then be taken back to the Postal Service.
So there are two separate issues here, I think. Number one, the idea that finding some garbage bags full of garbage plus ballots, to me, simply indicates people might have accidentally thrown their ballots away with junk mail, which is a huge problem sometimes for folks, which, again, is a reminder, don't just toss all the value packs and all that other garbage that you get from, like, Safeway and whatnot. Make sure you're checking to make sure you're not throwing your ballot away. But the second part is the allegation that these were stolen. How do you know that they were stolen from mailboxes?
So, actually, I'll correct you on the first part. These were bags of mail from multiple residents that included ballots and other mail. Some of the mail was opened, which means you usually have people that are looking for cash, checks.
Okay, that's much different then. Yeah. Well, when you said so bags of garbage, too, garbage. I was thinking, okay, because we've all done that, accidentally thrown things out.
Yeah, no, in garbage sacks, but it was all mail. And again, some of the mail had been open, and that's indicative of people that are looking for, you know, cash, credit cards, and ID. And again, this is an ongoing problem for many of the East Side cities, significant here in the city of Sammamish. And because ballots were coming out, we wanted to make sure that we were letting people know that it's a good opportunity for them to check their mail and not leave things behind. In regards to the second group of mail that was found by the postmaster, they did their own follow-up and discovered that all of the ballots came from individual residents with unlocked mailboxes. Mm.
That makes more sense. That's alarming, obviously, at a time where there's, you know, not just a remarkable interest in this election, but at a time where, you know, there have been some folks who have been shining a spotlight on some potential issues concerning mail-in voting, obviously less so here in Washington State. Does this normally happen around elections, or is this a little bit newer?
Well, again, I'm not going to make assumptions about whether or not someone specifically did it for political purposes, but it's an ongoing problem here, and it is amplified during this time when ballots are going out. So that's, again, we wanted to make sure people are aware so that they can get their votes, get their ballots, or get an opportunity to vote. And so we felt it was important enough to go ahead and pass that on to the community.
Yeah, and I'm glad you did, because there are a lot of people who, let's say this had nothing to do with politics. It was just some, you know, loser trying to steal, you know, cash and credit cards from people's mailboxes, and they went after the ballots too and just threw everything out. The thing is, people sometimes don't realize that they're missing their ballot until a little bit too late in the process, which just causes a lot of undue stress. And so make sure, especially if you're in the Sammamish area, but generally speaking, by Monday, you should get your ballots. And if you don't have your ballot, go and check with your county's election website. For this case, it would be kingcounty.gov/elections, but it's very easy to find out all of this information. And you can just get a new ballot either sent to you, or in some cases you can even print it out and mail it in. Sometimes those you're going to have to drop off in person. We've been talking with the Chief of Sammamish Police, Dan Pingree. Any final remarks?
I was just going to say, the postmaster did mention that here in King County that everyone can track their mail, so that's a good way to double check what where their ballot may be as well.
I will say this, though. I hate that I can track my own mail, because I can see the bills that come in. They scan everything and they send you an email, and then it tells you that a bill is coming in, and then the entire day you're just saying, oh my gosh, I would have just preferred to just open the mail and get the bill. Now I got to worry about it.
And then there's no excuse for you not paying it either.
Yeah, exactly. Now there's a paper trail. Before, I could have said, I went to Sammamish and some dude stole my mail, and now I can't get away with that.
All kinds of options out there.
There you go. So. Chief Pingree, thank you so much for standing by. Really appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Jason Rancho. Again, it's important to just make sure that you're double checking online. Make sure, by the way, you're actually registered. And if you change your location, your address, make sure that the new address is on file. Do all of these things. There is a lot on the line, both from a national perspective, but also from a local perspective. By the way, because we just talked to the Sammamish PD, I want to remind you right now we're trying to raise $10,000 by the end of the show for the Seattle Police Foundation so that they can purchase fire kits for each and every Seattle police officer. Because yesterday we saw the story of a man trying to burn to death a Seattle police officer. He threw a lit wooden stick of some kind, torching the patrol vehicle that the cop was in. Thankfully, the cop is okay, but it reminds us that not every officer has these fire safety kits, which include fire-resistant face and hand protection, a personal fire suppression system, and just some basic first aid burn treatments. Now, each of these packages cost about $100, and so we're trying to raise $10,000 by the end of this show so that we can purchase a kit for every single officer, so we can help do that. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link, and you can donate whatever it is you have. Debbie decided to give $60. Buzz decided to give $50. Constance coming in with $100, so did Richard, $100. Daniel said, you know what, I've got $20 to give. That's what I'm going to do. Jill says $36.50. Paul said, I've got $10. That's what I can give right now. Kevin said $30. Pat said $25. Scott said $100. Dean said $50. We've got more and more and more of these coming in, like Bonnie at $5, Nathan at $25. Whatever you can give, I would love to get to $10,000 by the end of the show. And even though it's a Friday, I've got faith. I'm a little nervous that we're going to make it, because the Seattle Police Foundation counts on us to back the blue and raise this money for the officers. But it is a Friday. It's getting dark early. People just aren't all connected the way they normally are. We're almost there, but we got about 8,000 left to do. It's going to be tough. Text the keyword DONATE to 1-800-465-8770. Big Local coming up next.
Yelp, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rance Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that. 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, where instead of talking about stories out of Seattle, we spend our time talking about the communities you live in and care about most. And we start in Bellevue, where, you know, another day, another sales tax. The Bellevue City Council followed in the footsteps of the city of Renton by increasing the sales tax by 0.1%. This, of course, comes after King County Council did exactly the same thing. And it shows you how these taxes start to add up. 0.1% is nothing. 0.1% of like $100, for example, is like $97. That's not that much.
No, it's not $97.
It's a penny.
0.1% of 100 would be 1 penny. I'm not even a math major. I majored in comm.
It's 100 cents. That's a penny.
No. That's a dollar. It's 1 cent. The little bronze thing.
That's not a lot, right?
I know you're not familiar with coinage and those sort of types of currency. I get it. You make a lot of money. You don't know what coins are. You look at a $1 bill and you say, what is this? But pennies exist. People use them.
Would we acknowledge a penny is not a lot?
Yeah.
Pennies at the end of the day is not a lot. However, when you sit back and realize it's not happening in a bubble, you're getting hit with tax after tax after tax. And whether it's 0.1% or 33%, it adds up to a lot at the end of the year. And suddenly you realize you're out thousands and thousands of dollars when it comes to the sales tax and property taxes and all of these different fees that you end up paying. And in this case, like the others, it goes to the nebulously defined affordable housing. I don't know what that means. Now, there is, of course, a benefit to a city rather than a county doing these kinds of taxes, because, of course, in this case, you would get people over at Bellevue deciding how the money is going to be spent instead of giving it to Dow Constantine, an ideologue. But the problem here, as much as I trust the folks like a Jennifer Robertson, a council member, Deputy Mayor Jerry Neuenhaus, as much as I trust them with this money to be the responsible stewards of the tax dollars, it was rushed through. They rushed it through, meaning you guys didn't get a say. You did not get a say. And that's a problem for me. You should be given the opportunity to speak up, because this is your money. And these are programs that will be funded with your money, that will happen in your communities, and that you didn't get enough of a chance to speak out against it or in favor of it is wrong. Speaking of getting a say, the city of Tacoma is looking for a new police chief. And right now, they've got a survey that is allowing people who live in Tacoma to weigh in about the future of the Tacoma Police Department. Now, this survey is only going to be good until next Friday. What is that, October 23rd? So here is a question I have for you. Will you weigh in on this survey if you live in Tacoma, or will you let the professional activists weigh in for you? Will you say you want to have your voices heard, or will you sit back and let someone else do it? Because here's the deal. The professional activists, they know that the survey is going on. And they know that all they need is for you to sit there silently while they do their business, spreading around the link to the survey, probably sending it to people who don't even live in Tacoma, who've never even been to Tacoma, hoping that they will be seen as the average Tacoman. That's what they're going to do. And that means in Tacoma, there's going to be an even bigger push for the defund movement, which is already happening there. They're going to be pushing for, quote-unquote, community policing. That doesn't mean what you think it means. They're going to be pushing for social workers showing up when you call 911, not only keeping the person who called 911 in danger, but endangering the social worker. They're going to create unfair systems in which they are judging police officers after conduct that an activist might deem inappropriate. You have a say in so much stuff, you just need to step up and do it. And so I've made it really, really easy for you to take this survey. Go to our Facebook page. You don't even need to have Facebook. It's the first post. I've linked to the survey. Go to Facebook.com/Jason Rants Show. Facebook.com/Jason Rants Show. And I've got the link up there. If you live in Tacoma and you want to help define the future of your police department and really the future of public safety in your city, all you have to do is take one survey. It'll take you 5 minutes, if that. Go to Facebook.com/Jason Rants Show. And yes, we know we did the math wrong. You did the math wrong. I was joking. Did you actually think?
Yeah, no, I thought that was a bit.
You thought it was a bit.
No, that was a bit. It was a dime.
You usually have, well, when we said a tenth of a, I was doing the joke. I now think you were not in on it.
No, I made the comm major joke. You make the comm major joke at that point.
No, I don't. I think you thought a tenth of a percentage of 100 was a one penny.
Look, I know what a dime is. It's the big silver one.
Oh, is that what we're talking about? You can send us a text at 1-800-465-8770. Finally, Thurston County Health Officer Dr. Demyana Abdelmalek is now recommending new restrictions on students going back into the classroom across Thurston County. But on top of that, she's also recommending that the school districts end competitive sports. This is according to the Nisqually Valley News. They say the doctor wrote that if the county enters the high range of cases, the surge, she's going to be continuing to watch the caseloads for another 2 weeks or so. If you're still in that zone of high positive cases, she's going to determine whether or not schools, which in Thurston County for the most part are on this hybrid system, whether or not they should return to remote learning. She wrote in a letter to the county, if moderate transmission continues during this 14-day pause, crossing into the high transmission range seems unlikely, and there is enough healthcare capacity and public health capacity to support a possible increase in cases, then I will recommend continuing to gradually phase in more in-person learning opportunities per the Washington State Department of Health decision-making framework. That is the right way to do it. I disagree with the sports aspect to it, but this is the right way to do it. If you're not seeing an increase in not cases, but cases going to hospitals, the hospitalizations or deaths, there's no real reason for you to slow down a phase-in reopening plan, especially for kids who are the least likely to be impacted from a health perspective by the coronavirus. Whenever we hear about the surge in cases, okay, I got that. Is there a surge in hospitalizations? What happened to 15 days to stop the spread? What was that all about? To stop the surge. What was that about? It was about keeping people out of the hospitals because there was a fear that the hospitals were going to be overloaded. And at the time, that was a reasonable fear because we didn't know everything that we needed to know about the coronavirus. And hospitals across the country, they were not prepared for a pandemic. 15 days to stop the surge. Mask up. Then we'll go back to normal. We always understood that in the age of a pandemic, you're going to get, potentially, the coronavirus. But we also know that the chances of death associated with the pandemic, astronomically low. It doesn't mean it's not tragic when it happens, and it doesn't mean that if you're in a certain age demographic or have an underlying health condition that you should be casual about this. I don't think anyone should be casual about it. But we can't keep moving the goalposts. And it kind of feels like that's what's happening. So kudos to the Thurston County Health Officer, at least as of right now, saying, I'm paying attention to the hospitalization rate. If the hospitals get overrun, that's a different story. If all you got is a positive surge in numbers, like caseloads, and everyone for the most part is fine, people aren't dying, people aren't even getting seriously ill, There's no reason to stop things. There's obviously reason to speak up about washing hands, not going into crowds, all that stuff. But we got to stop moving the goalposts. 1-800-465-877 if you want to join the conversation. Kudos to the people who have texted the keyword donate to 1-800-465-8770. Carol gave 50. Joshua gave 60. Sam came in with 100. So did Bill and Jan. Thank you so much for that, Bill and Jan. Victoria, 3650. Jane, 3650. Michael, 20. They're donating to Back the Blue to help purchase fire packs, fire kits, to help the Seattle Police Department. If you want to help donate, we're trying to raise $10,000 by the end of the show. That's all I need, $10,000. Text the keyword donate to 1-800-465-8770, and I'm going to send you a link so you can actually donate. You can do what so many others are doing, like Victoria, who just gave $3,650, and Peyton gave $10,000. Was that you?
Yeah, I found a credit card laying on the ground.
$10,000, not 10,000 pennies.
No, I found a credit card laying on the office, and it said Jason on it, so I made a big donation.
Let's have a conversation. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. I got to say, I'm not always fair to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I'm not. I'll be totally honest. And maybe it's my bias. Maybe I'm a misogynist. Whatever it is, I acknowledge that I'm not always fair to the experiences of AOC, who has been struggling in a lot of ways living in a racist system, in a white supremacist system. And as a woman of color, I can't imagine it would be easy for her. And she told a story. She was doing one of these Zoom sessions with Earl Blumenthal, the dude from Portland, the congressman. And she told the story of how she had to deal with a racist system in which neighborhoods are being kept from fresh food. And that's actually a serious issue. Talk about food insecurity. We talk about keeping nutritious foods away from communities of color. And I got to say, her story really moved me.
As a Bronx resident, there have been many times, I mean, it's almost a way of life where it can be very difficult. To get access to fresh and healthy foods. I remember one of the earliest times, like one of the worst stories I have about this was...
Okay, one of the worst stories. So she's setting it up right now. One of the worst stories she's ever had to tell. That's serious stuff, man.
That I was very excited I think I was making a gazpacho or something like that.
Gazpacho?
It's going to get worse.
I mean, I would argue that's kind of privileged person food, but I mean, it's going to get bad.
I looked up this recipe and I needed basil. And I was going home and I get off the subway station and I go into the grocery store and there's no basil, no fresh basil in the grocery store. So
I'll let her finish. It's basil, right?
Basil and gazpacho.
So presumably she found, like, for example, the tomatoes and stuff, like the vegetable portion and the, but not the basil, which, by the way, is not an authentic gazpacho, but okay. But she got hit with racism, though, because I'm assuming someone attacks her for being a woman of color who asked for basil.
You'll see.
Basil's a white person food, plus all the Italians and everything, but basil is not for you. I'm assuming that's what's going
to
happen.
Then I walk to another grocery store two blocks down.
Just again, I'm sorry, it was just real quick, because when we talk about food insecurity, we usually say an area is a food desert. because they're low income neighborhoods and you don't have access to any grocery stores whatsoever. But that's two within like a
within walking distance, a couple of blocks.
Okay.
No fresh basil. I was very stubborn about making this recipe that evening. And I must have walked around for an hour in our neighborhoods, visiting four or five grocery stores.
Four or five grocery stores means you don't live in a food desert, which means you don't suffer from food insecurity because you have easy access. Now, she wasn't able to find her fresh basil, which, by the way, I hope you noticed she said fresh basil, which meant I'm willing to bet there was dried basil everywhere, which you can pretty much find everywhere. Although sometimes in college I learned it's not basil, but like you can actually, okay.
And there was no basil, no fresh basil in any of them.
Fresh.
And it just goes to show it's very illustrative of the difficulties that we have in our communities in accessing fresh produce.
Well, I mean, you got the fresh produce for your gazpacho, just not the basil.
Have you ever been to the Bronx, Jason?
I have been to the Bronx.
I have too, and I've walked through the Bronx, and I would never think, like, you know what? This would be a great place to pick up some basil. Go somewhere else.
That's her story of racism. That's her worst story.
Very racist. Basil is the worst.
Not quite the story that she had when she was looking for cumin, but oh my gosh. Oh my God. And the nutmeg story. Remind me to tell you about that.